Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart-Centered Loving. I'm your host, Jim Brown. Today is Tuesday, the 25th of February. You are safe. No harm will come to you in this space. As always, my goal is to bring more love, happiness, joy, compassion, peace, and abundance into your life. And every week when you listen to the show, I ask you to think of one thing that you want to take out of the show and implement it into your daily life. And as always, at the end, I ask what that might be so that you can get it. Today, the show is going to be on finding the joy everywhere in life. If you want to call in, it's on your screen. The number is 646-595-2831. Would love to hear your questions or how you find joy in your life, because the more we know from each other, the easier it is. The opening quote is from Dr. Seuss, none other than, "Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened." And that's easier said than done sometimes, but true. So the opening funny email, which I thought was hysterical, my friend Char told it to me at lunch the Saturday after Valentine's Day, and I just think it's hysterical, so let's go with it. An elderly couple had just learned how to send text messages on their cell phones. The wife was a romantic type, but the husband was more of a no-nonsense guy. In the morning of Valentine's Day, the wife went out to meet a friend for coffee. She decided to send her husband a romantic text message, and she wrote, "If you're sleeping, send me your dreams. If you're laughing, send me your smile. If you're eating, send me a bite. If you're drinking, send me a sip. If you're crying, send me your tears. I love you." The husband texted back to her, "I'm on the toilet. Please advise." Ah, man, aren't we wonderful? Most of us at least saw a little bit of the Winter Olympics, and Carolina Kostner, the Olympic bronze medalist in ladies figure skating from Italy, didn't do well in 2010, and she was going to quit ice skating. And her mom said to her, "Skate for the joy of skating." And I would add to that quote, skate, live for the joy of doing it, doing anything, doing everything. Find the joy in it. We've all heard, I don't know if it's a biblical quote or what it is, "Ask and you shall receive." So ask for the gift of seeing and finding the joy everywhere, in everybody, all the time. Before I get going, you remember the show was on Joy Cafe Network, which was Shannon Knight's, from January last year through September. Anyway, I work with Shannon, or, you know, Shannon's a spiritual teacher, spiritual guide, whatever you call Shannon. And we had a great session yesterday. And one of the things, there are a lot of things that came out of it. What was fun is that it was like the two of us going back and forth with each other. And I just want to grab here, I thought I had it, but I don't, the email that she sent me this morning. "Just wanted to say thank you for yesterday's session. I know one of the reasons I look forward to your sessions is you mirror me as a playful, joyful spirit who just came to do it their way. I love getting reminders via your readings. I get something, and but with you it resonates. Be yourself, and who gives a..." Now, this, I don't know this phrase. I've never heard it before. "Who gives a flying unicorn what the so-called others say?" And I think that's the message I want you to get today. Be yourself, and who cares what other people say? They're going to talk about you no matter what. Let it be, and I've practically every show I talk about Terry Cole Whitaker's book, what you think of me is none of my business. And if we could get to that point of living our life that way, then we'd be in great shape. So the whole idea and what we got yesterday is that when I started doing this radio show, I talked to somebody who had done some work for Karen Anderson, and he said, well, outline everything. You know, you got to have the show in 15-minute segments and all that stuff. And I have done that, and I have that for today's show. And so what came out yesterday is the way I am is I'm a spontaneous person. So this structure, if you will, isn't who I am. And like I said to you before, I see myself, look, I'm trying to cut a string off of my jacket here, and it won't cut. And this is very distracting. Oh, well, I guess I have to move on. And I think of myself as a speaker. And when I live my life, it's just spontaneous. I stop, I talk, I play with people. And it's a lot of fun. And I don't care what people think of me. I think of me, I told you one time, the largest audience I've ever spoken in front of was 1,400 people. And when you get a standing ovation, usually what happens is people stand up in the front, and that'll intimidate the rest of the audience, and they'll all stand up. Well, this particular one, it was like everybody, the bigger the crowd, the easier it is. The thing is that they jumped out of their seats. I listened to the audio tape afterwards. They're hooting, they're hollering. And the guy who had invited me wasn't there, and I asked for a letter of recommendation, and he said no, because somebody in the audience complained because I told an off-color joke. And the joke was something about how Jesus was Italian, how he was Mexican, how he was Jewish. Anyway, so I went, oh, my gosh, you know, I was no good. Who do I believe, the one guy that complained or the 1,400 people that were hysterical about the program? And we had fun together. So those kinds of things happen to us in our life all the time. And Shannon, you know, pointed out, or we got together, and the bottom line was, hey, life is too short not to be yourself, not to be who you are. And in that regard, I ran across something on Facebook yesterday, and the woman's name was Carrie Hart. And she says, and I think it was, I don't remember what, it's C-A-R-R-A-I-E, and last name is H-A-R-T. Today you remember that you are here to bring your gifts to the world during your lifetime, and that there are those who need and want what you offer. What you bring is not sought by everybody. When you encounter resistance, this is part of the learning process. You may either educate others about what you do or educate yourself about who is looking for you and who is not. Remain true to your core. If you hide your truth and you twist yourself around to try and please everyone, then the people who are seeking someone exactly like you can't find you. Value who you are. Value what you bring. If you continue to shine your truth, you will eventually find that those who will join you in a fulfilling and prosperous loop of giving and receiving. Pardon me. And I guess that website is www.i-am-this.com. So anyway, enjoy that and be who you came here to be. Don't let people intimidate you. And that's what the big thing was with Shannon and I, and we laugh and we carry on. It's like kindergarten kids. And that's the point. And Shannon offers these little specials every month, cupcakes and things like that. Anyway, my point is that I really enjoy working with Shannon, and I know that you would. So her website is shannonknight.co.uk. That's shannonknight.co.uk, which means she's in the UK, but she's getting ready to come back to the United States for a visit next month. Keep her in mind. Moving right along, when we get back to the idea of joy, we're looking to try and find joy in every situation. And you and I know that life isn't filled with joy. I mean, nobody overdoses on joy. Nobody's ever died from an overdose of joy. And when you look at the world and you look at how the media portrays the world and wants us to think and believe about everything, is that we want to be afraid that everybody is going to get us. And the world is filled with evil. Now, you either buy into that, and we've talked about that before. When you do buy into that, you're buying into, I am a victim. And stuff is going to happen to me, and I need to be scared that something is happening to me. And I don't play that game at all. Now, you get to decide each day of your life whether you're going to play that game or not. What do you want to play? What do you want to play? You want to play the game of, I came here to bring out the best in me every single day. Or do you want to play the game, poor me? Stuff happens, or let's put it more crudely, shit happens. It happens all the time. You can't control what happens. I believe we co-create it and we bring it to us. But let's put that aside. When it happens, you get to choose how you're going to respond to it. One of the next three shows is going to be on how to live in the present moment. Most people think there's three periods of time, the past, the present, and the future. Nonsense. There's only one period of time. That's right here, right now, this minute. The past only exists in your head as a perception. And you can change that perception anytime, any minute you want. So if you went through a traumatic situation in the past and it's causing you angst and tension and stress, it's a perception. So you can change that perception because you're the one who holds it. And you just simply want to ask yourself, hey, what was the joy here? Until you get an answer. Or what would I have to believe in order for me to view this situation as joyous? And I give you an example, and that was almost 2 years ago. I think it was June or July of 2012. I got a ticket for going through what they call the red light. What it was is a bus stop type of thing. And there was two lights. One was red and one was green. And I got a ticket for going 23 miles an hour through a red light. I don't know of anybody who goes through a red light at 23. If you're going to go, you're going to go. Anyway, so I get this ticket. It's $480. And then we have prepaid legal, so I called them. And they said, oh, we'll give you a free attorney and go to court. We go to court, and the attorney says, oh, take the deal. And the lady gets up there, and she says, let's make a deal. I'll give you $240, and if you're eligible, you can go to traffic school. So I went to traffic school. I took the deal, $240 for going through a red light. Didn't find a joy. Get done, do the certificate, pay another $29 for that. Last week I get a letter from State Farm, my insurance company, saying your insurance is going up $200 every 6 months. I said, what's going on? They said, well, DMV still shows that you have a red light. I called DMV, the company that did that, and then I called it wasn't DMV. I called somebody. Anyway, they said, oh, I called the court. And the court, and they said, well, you didn't pay the $64 in order to get it off your record. Well, took me almost 2 years, but I found the joy. I found the joy. Whoopee! $64 sounds like a racket, doesn't it? But my insurance was going to go up $400 a year, so it's a good deal. And I had an automobile accident year ago, November. A lady ran a red light. I look up, and her car's right in front of me, and I go, no way am I going to be able to get out of the way. And I smash into her, and had it been maybe a second and a half difference either way, one of us could have got killed. She was eating while she went through the red light. And in that moment, I went, holy cow, when you hear about people dying in a car crash and thinking, I don't know if I'm alive or not. Thinking, you know, 1 minute, 1 second you're dead, alive, the next second you're dead. You go, hey, wait a minute. That's what life is about. You don't know from second to second. You're driving through an intersection. Who looks to the left and right in a green light when you're going through an intersection? And you can be gone. So my point is don't get sucked in to all the hoopla that the world wants you to believe that basically life sucks and then you die. Look for the joy. And you're going to find it because we're going to find what we look for. If we look for the bad in people, we're going to find the bad in people. If we look for the good in people, we're going to find the good in people. That's your choice. We've talked about choice before, and again, I'll come back over and over again. You get to choose everything in your life. The stuff happens, then you get to choose the meaning you want to give to it. We've talked before, where A Course in Miracles, the first two lessons are, the first lesson is nothing in this room, this book, this table, this show, nothing has any meaning. And then the second lesson is the only meaning anything has is the meaning I choose to give to it. And therein lies our whole life. Everything is 100% dependent upon the meaning that you choose to give to it. So how about right here, right now, you promise yourself that for the rest of your life, you're going to make a commitment to find the joy, to find the love, to find the compassion, to find the peace, to find the happiness in every situation that happens. And keep asking yourself, there's something here. I gotta keep looking until I find it. There's something good here. There's a nugget here. I'm going to find the nugget. There's a story about a man who gave up digging for gold in Colorado. And he was 3 feet from the largest gold vein in the history of the state of Colorado. And he gave up. Don't give up. Keep searching for the joy. The joy is everywhere, but you got to look for it. You walk past it, you miss it. Your choice. What do you want to choose? Do you want to choose to have fun? A plane gets delayed. Do you want to choose to play with people? What do you want to do with it? It's your life. Now, we're schizophrenics. Now, all right, let me rephrase that. I'm a schizophrenic. I got multiple personalities. I got this personality that wants to love you, that wants to forgive, that wants to understand, that wants to be caring, compassionate, happy. And then I got this idiot that says, oh, this is all a bunch of crap. You know, you're not good enough for this. You can't do that. Look at the way this person drives. Look at the way this person is dressed. There's a woman at the gym that, my God, she looks like she paints that stuff on. Now, she's got a body that happens to work for, but, you know, and you say, oh, my gosh. So that guy talks. Now, let's look at that and say, who are the two guys? Well, the one guy that's the loudmouth is my ego. The other guy that is my higher self is a quiet guy. So let's look at it in that way. For example, yesterday when Shannon and I were talking, I said about Rosemary, you know, I'm much more assertive and outgoing than she is. And Shannon said, no way. Well, we roared at that. My point is I am outgoing, I'm assertive. Rosemary is shyer and quieter. So think of Rosemary, that shy person, that quiet person, as your higher self. Then think of me as being a loud mouth and having an ego and being assertive and pushing, blah, 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 as your ego. So every time something happens, that loud voice, that disruptive two-year-old having a temper tantrum is your ego, and it wants to assert itself and create chaos in your life all the time. And meanwhile, that quiet Rosemary is saying, hey, honey, look at the beauty in this. This is a magnificent opportunity for you to, and then you fill in the blank. So our first challenge now is to quiet the ego. The ego is never going to go away, so don't try and get it to go away. Just get it to take a time out so that in the quiet, you get to choose how you want to view the experience that you're having. Remember how many times we've talked about would you rather be right or happy? The ego is always going to want you to be right. Your higher self is always going to want you to be happy. So to me, that means when I get caught in the right thing with Rosemarie is to say, hey, wait a minute, that's it. All I want to do is to be happy. And I'll give you another example in terms of the joy. We talked last show about what happened to Rosemarie in December. And if you didn't listen to the last show, you can still download it. It's there for free. And you can download it here if you go to Blog Talk Radio, / Jim Brown Speaker. You can go to Heart-Centered Loving, Google Heart-Centered Loving. But anyway, the point is that because of a medical error, she could have died. And we sat there that morning, we held hands, and for the first time in my life, my soul talked to another person's soul, Rosemarie's soul. And that was a connection that never would have happened unless this mistake, in quotations, happened. So that's an amazing joy. Now, I'm sure I've told you before that we'll be married 47 years in August. And Rosemarie is the sun in my universe. All I want is my son, my Rosemarie. And our relationship has totally been transformed. And the angst, the ego in it is gone. And it's, hey, we're here. We're going to celebrate every single moment as a moment filled with joy, a moment filled with love, a gift of life that we've been given to be able to share with each other. And I want you to think about that when you're talking about a spouse, a child, whomever, that may be trouble. Which reminds me, last time I had a training session on Blog Talk Radio. Cynthia was the lady who was doing it, and she gave me a great suggestion. She says, when you're arguing, hold hands. Might be a little tough to argue as vociferously when we're holding hands, right? Which is the whole point. Life is precious. Express and understand how precious life is, because one moment, like that automobile accident, it could have been there, and it could have been gone. So you get to calm everything down. You get to choose peace. And in that place of peace, in that place of love, you get to choose how you are going to view and categorize this experience. And do it with joy. It's fun. I was in, I don't know where all you are, but there's a place called Susie's Cakes. And oh my God, I love chocolate cake. So I go in there, and first of all, I was getting my hair cut 2 doors away, and I was waiting to get my hair cut, and two of them are out there interviewing a third person. And when I went into the store, I went to the one person. I said, I got a bone to pick with you. I said, you two beat up on her, two against one. And we talked about it, and blah, blah. Well, then I said, I want a slice of OFC, which means old-fashioned chocolate. Well, they went hysterical because everybody else asked for a slice of chocolate cake. Meanwhile, I mean, that slice of chocolate cake today is the sixth day, and I'll finally finish the whole piece. But my point is that they all laughed. I skipped up and down the store. I'm 68 years old, and I'm skipping in a store. I don't care, okay? I'm here to play. I'm on life, and the world is my playground. I'm not growing up. I don't care what age you want to call me. I will never grow up. I'm going to play with you everywhere we go. And I will give you permission to play with everybody everywhere. I've told you before, my biggest lesson in 22 years as a speaker is that I can play with people everywhere in the world. And 99%+ of the time, people play back. Go out there, play, make your life filled with joy. It's your choice. It can be filled with joy, it can be filled with anger, it can be filled with sorrow. You get to pick. Give you another example. I had two spiritual teachers who the relationship ended horribly, and both of them, it was over money. And what's the natural reaction? The natural reaction is to get angry and get upset. And I can see and understand how people have that as their knee-jerk response when they get divorced. Oh, my God, I'm in pain. I'm going to inflict more pain on you. And I went, no, I'm not going to play that game. So we talked about, we've had several programs on forgiveness, and that's releasing the emotional attachment to the event. I am not going to be a slave to an event. If I say who I am is one who wants to love and play and embrace life all the time, then when I get caught in the drama of a traumatic situation, I got to decide, well, wait a minute, what's my truth? My truth is this is who I aspire to be as much of the time as I possibly can be. Therefore, I got to let this go. And the only way I can let it go is to send those people love. And it's sad because they're out of my life. And at the same time, I got to accept and trust that people come into my life for a reason. And when the reason is fulfilled, it's time to let them go and move on. So we get to choose what goes on in our life. Remember, we talk about the ego. And now I'm trying to find my spot. I'm going back to my notes. Ugh. Ha, ha, ha. So our goal in life is to respond to every experience, not to react to it. We know when we react to it, it's a knee-jerk response, which probably never results in our highest desire for how we want to view the situation. And I'm hoping that all of us are looking to view the situation from our highest spiritual perspective. When we respond, we can always choose to respond from a desire to respond to the highest and greatest spiritual self. When you're consciously aware, you can always choose your response. And my hope is you want to choose to be loving, to be joyful, and to be in peace. And that you're not going to let your ego destroy the joy, the fun of life. We can always choose again. So if the ego makes a crappy choice for us, we don't have to accept it. That's a surface judgment. We always want to look deeper and higher for a better, more spiritual meaning. So all that stuff is generating a negative energy. We're seeking to co-create positive energy for ourselves and those around us, rather than get sucked into somebody else's negative energy. So when somebody comes to you in anger, that doesn't mean you have to respond in anger. I will use an example with an audience, and I'll ask somebody to stand up, and I'll ask them to hold their hand out, and I will push against their hand. There's only two things they can do. They can resist, or they can and not resist. So if they resist, I say, see, all I ask you to do is hold your hand up, and you push back. But what happens if you don't resist? We can dance back and forth. We can play. Just because you come to me in anger, what if that anger is that person crying for you to help them? I'm scared. I'm lost. I'm upset. I need someone to see what I need. And the only way I can feel how to respond is through anger. It's not what I want. I remember when years ago, we used to argue, and I found out that Rosemary, being Italian, they just love to yell and shout and get it over. And I thought, well, the best way to argue is then to shut up. And that just infuriated her. I don't know where I was going with that. For years, I asked what my purpose is. And a couple years ago, it came to me that my purpose is to take care of other people, or that the way I look at it is we're here to take care of each other. Sometimes we're here to heal someone else. Sometimes we're here to be healed. Rosemary has been a clinical hospital pharmacist for over 50 years, so she's been a healer for over 50 years. 2 months ago, she spent 8 days in the hospital. She was there to be healed. We had great doctors that came in that have helped her. Everything is back to close to her normal. She tried to go back to work yesterday, but didn't have the proper paperwork, and you know how that goes, don't you? Moving right along. Let me look at the time. That's half an hour. How about that? So if you listen to the show on an ongoing basis, you know that I intertwine the same kinds of things. I'm not here to write a book that says the seven secrets of life or, you know, the secret or that, because I don't think there's anything that's a secret. I think that life is simple. I think at the same time that our ego tries to complicate it, because if we're secure and if we know who we are, all this stuff is simple. It's easy, and we just go out there and do it. But if we're insecure, we got to create our kingdom to make us feel important. Like yesterday, the paperwork, there was a mistake. It was supposed to say that Rosemary worked 2 days a week for the first 2 weeks and then 3 days a week for the next 2 weeks. And it said 2 days a week for the second 2 weeks. Well, the first part was fine. 2 days a week for 2 weeks. Well, they could have let her go back to work. But, oh, no, the paperwork was wrong. And she had a letter from a doctor saying she couldn't, you know, work this time because of this. And they lost the letter. Well, but that's the policy. They had to do the policy. So we got to be careful not to allow that to make us feel negative or to dictate how we are in life. We talked about the traffic jam. Customer service. I want to talk about different areas where we have opportunities to create joy. I told you about Susie's Cakes. We were skipping in there. The lady that I said, I got a bone to pick with you, the two of you picked on one person you're interviewing, she said to me, please come over here. She said, you made my day because you asked for OFC instead of chocolate cake. That's how easy it is to go out there. Go out there with the idea, I'm going to put a smile on someone's face. Shannon was telling me yesterday, because she's from the northwest of the United States, and she moved to the UK a couple years ago. She went to get on a bus, and she said to a lady, how pretty your teeth were or how pretty your hair was. And some guy says, you know, here in Britain, when somebody compliments you, we figure they're going to pick your pocket. Well, now Shannon could say, oh my gosh, and I'm not going to compliment anybody, or just ignore it. And go out there and bring that joy to somebody. One of the stories from The Chicken Soup from the Soul, one of the first books, was about a freshman in high school who had taken all of his books out of his locker, and he was walking home on a Friday, and some of the other students bumped into him and knocked the books out of his hand, and he was on his hands and knees picking his books up, and somebody else came along and helped him pick up his books, helped him carry the books home, and they became friends. And this first boy became the valedictorian of their class, and when he was given his address as graduation in high school, he said, I cleaned out my locker to bring my books home because I was going to commit suicide, and I didn't want to trouble my mom to make her have to go back to get my books out of my locker. This boy helped me with my books, we became friends, and I didn't have to commit suicide. Now, who in a million years would ever imagine the act of stopping and helping somebody pick up books would have stopped him from committing suicide? Another story along the same lines is a teacher was saying to each one of her students, sixth grade, she brought them up. This is another Chicken Soup book story. She brought them up and they told each student how they made a difference. And she said that you need to tell three other people how you make a difference in my life. So the one student went and told his dad, and his dad told somebody else he worked with, and that guy came home and told his son, 14-year-old son, how much he loved him, and outside of his mother, he was the most important person in his life. And the boy started crying uncontrollably. He said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Dad, I was going to commit suicide because I thought you didn't love me." Now, in a million years, do you think that that teacher thought that by telling each child how they made a difference, that somebody wasn't going to commit suicide? A third story on that was, same thing, another teacher. And she gave the kids a note on how wonderful they were. And years later, one of them was in Vietnam and he got killed. And at the wake, the mother had the note from her son. Her son took the wallet to Vietnam and had his note in the wallet. And other of his classmates were there. And each one of them took the note out of their pocket. Again, saying the difference that another person makes. So it's not the big stuff. It's the small stuff. It's the noticing. Every single one of us has problems, has troubles, has concerns or worries. And all you can do is to bring a little joy in their life and bring a little joy in your life, because you don't get depressed when you're trying to find the joy everywhere you go. Now, we were talking about customer service. Well, we never got to talk about it. Again, you know, those people are programmed to answer you a certain way. And I get involved with them, and I talk to them, and just like I'm talking to you, like we're having a conversation, and I'm there to make a difference in their life today. I may never talk to them again. Relationships. Very few relationships are from birth to death. So, as I said, the quote from Dr. Seuss, "Don't lament when it's over, be happy it happened." So be happy and grateful for all the joy you had during a relationship. Now let's talk about pain. Divorce is the most people don't divorce civilly, and yet it's the only relationship in all society where one person says to another, "Hey, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I love you." And then when it's over, one gets hurt, and the other one says, "Ah, I mean, you get hurt, and you say, my God, the only way I'm going to heal this pain is to inflict 10 times as much pain on you as you inflicted on me." We lose sight of the joy. My suggestion to anybody who has to go through a divorce, like the wedding, you had a celebration. Go have dinner. Say, "Thank you, dear. We had some marvelous years together. It's over. Enjoy the rest of your life." And that's it. Instead of carrying pain around with us, don't ever want to carry pain around. Let's go to the next one. Family get-togethers. Does anybody here have a black sheep in the family? Or maybe you are the black sheep. And you anticipate how somebody is going to behave. And I had somebody I worked with years ago, and she was going to go to Chicago for a visit with her father, and she was dreading going to Chicago to see her dad. And I said, "Well, just look at it this way. Think of it that you're going to see a play, and your dad is playing the role of the villain in the play." She went there, and she looked at that, and she watched him act like a jerk. She came back. She said it was the best visit ever. What happened? Did her dad change? No! The way she looked at it changed. She detached herself from it and just said, "Wow, this guy's doing a Tony Award-winning performance of being a jerk." How can you view something differently that will bring joy to your heart? We talked about Rosemary and how we found the joy from her being sick. We'd never want her to go through it again, but our life has been transformed because we went through it. And I told you before that when I do my program on stress, I ask if anybody's ever received a terminal diagnosis. And when somebody raises their hand, most of the time it's cancer. And I ask, what impact has it made on your life? And most of the time they'll say it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I'll say, "How is that?" And they'll say, "Because it taught me what is important in life." So for those of you who have never had a terminal diagnosis, get what they're saying. What's important in life? To love, to let go, to forgive, to have fun, to have joy. Not that your house is clean, that your counter is this, that you don't have any spots on your clothes, you know. None of that is important. So what we want to do, what our challenge to do, is to look for the joy in every situation. Not to judge, not to criticize, not to condemn. Now we know that every situation that we're having in our life is an experience that's presented to us in order for us to learn a lesson. And if we don't learn the lesson, the experience will be presented over and over and over and over again until we learn it. The difference is that there will be different people and there will be different costumes, but they're going to come to us to teach us a lesson. Or you can play the role of victim, in which case this stuff is going to happen to you for the rest of your life. But when you say, hey, I'm here to learn, I'm going to learn my lesson. I'm going to ask for the lesson. I'm going to learn it, and then I get to move on because I'm going to find joy in every situation. That's my option. That's my choice. So I go back to a person, and I ask, where is the joy in this experience? Keep asking the question until you get the answer. Your choice, isn't it? It's always your choice. In 1988, I went to 3 Tony Robbins seminars. The third one, or the second one, which was 12 days, we went close to 20 hours a day. And I can, in one sentence, the biggest thing I got out of there, of all that time, which is over 200 hours with Tony Robbins, is ask better questions. Why me is not a good question. It is not going to lead you to a good place. Where's the love in this? Where's the joy in this? How do I let go? How do I forgive? How do I let go? How often do we ask ourselves, how do I let go? How many of us want to control everything rather than just going down the stream and allowing the river of life to take us where we're going to go? But at the same time, we'll go again with the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. One more time. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Give me the courage to change the things I can. And most important, give me the wisdom to know what I can change and what I can't change. Now, we encounter people. What do we want to look for in the people? Every one of us has some good and some bad. So what do you want to look at? What do you want to look for? Look for the good in people. Life will be a lot more fun, a lot less anxiety, and a lot more joy. What happens again if you say, I'm going to go out today and I'm going to get somebody to say to me, you made my day. I've had a number of great emails since the last program, and one of them is from Laura in Michigan. And just to share this, she wrote a long letter, and she too, Laura's taking classes from Shannon. And one of the things Shannon does that's so cool is, I don't know how she does this. And a 5-year-old kid can stump me on magic tricks. So I gave up having to know how she does it. But she connects with spirit, and she writes you a letter. And she does it two ways. She can write you this letter on a card. She sends it from the UK to wherever you are. Or she just types it up, emails it to me, and I think the charge is $45 or $50. And I have 4 or 5 letters from her, and each one is spot on, and it helps me get through a certain experience. Anyway, Laura's taken Shannon's classes, and she was trying to do some writing, and she felt like she was connected to Jesus. And I just emailed Shannon before we got started and saying, I want to learn how to connect to Archangel Michael, Archangel Raphael, Jesus, Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, and my spirit guides, my family that's already gone home. And I want to be able to identify the different energy. So this is what Laura was doing. And she felt like she was writing, and it was Jesus. And I'm not going to go through the detail, but this is the message that she wrote from Jesus. As I put my hands in yours, know I will guide you in the right direction. Take the time to put your faith in God and know He is with you. Let the words come from you, your heart, and know that I am with you too. Spread the word. Spread the faith. Keep the faith inside of you. Be strong and do not be afraid. Speak your truth. Feel it. Be one with God. Know I am with you always. Take care with your thoughts, and love will lead the way. Be strong. Have faith. I am one with you now. Take time for yourself and go within. Okay. Find the joy in getting people to smile. Find the joy in playing with people. I had a toy that broke. It was a little heart, and you could squeeze the heart, and it would go, I love you. So we were on a cruise, and I found it on a cruise ship. I wish I would have gotten 20 of them. And we went to the show at night, the live performance, I should say, not the movie. And we were coming out, and the next seating was waiting in line to go in and see the next show. And I would walk past these people, and I would squeeze that into their ear, and they would hear, I love you. 4 people said back to me, I love you too. Now, how easy is it? It's as easy as you want it to be. If you don't care what people think about you, then it's easy. Good. They're going to think whatever they want to think about you, no matter what you say, no matter what you do. So give them permission to think whatever they want to think about you, but be who you are. Remember the message we got from Carrie Hart. Value who you are. Value what you bring. Shine your truth, and you'll find people will join you in fulfilling a prosperous loop of giving and receiving. So, once again, life's filled with lessons. They're disguised as change, problems, illness, loss of a job, the death of a loved one. Our challenge is always to find the joy in the experience. As we've talked about earlier, life is energy, and we can always decide what kind of energy we're going to create in every situation in our life. Let me check the chat room here before I go. Nope, we got one person in there, and she or he doesn't have a name, so we can't chat. So, the closing story is a longer story than I usually use, but it just fits for what we're doing here today. And it's called The Happiest Day of My Life. And it's by Michael T. Smith. And incidentally, the way I found it is I Googled stories on joy. Simple as that. It started innocently. Many years ago, I worked in an office with large windows that looked out over our busy overpass. I stood by one of those windows one day when a woman in a passing car looked up and made eye contact with me. Naturally, I waved. A chuckle escaped my lips as she turned and tried to identify me. It was the beginning of a year of window antics. When things were slow, I stood in the window and waved at passengers who looked up. Their strange looks made me laugh, and the stress of work was washed away. My coworkers took an interest. They stood back out of view and watched the reactions I received with amazement. Late afternoon was the best time. Rush hour traffic filled the overpass with cars and transit buses and provided a wealth of waving opportunities for my end-of-the-day routine. It didn't take long to attract the following: a group of commuters who passed by the window every day and looked up at the strange waving man. There was a man with a construction truck who would turn on his flashing yellow lights and return my wave. There was a carpool crowd and the business lady with her children fresh from daycare. My favorite was a transit bus from the docks that passed by my window at 4:40. It carried the same group every day. They were my biggest fans. Waving grew boring, so I devised ways to enhance my act. I made signs. Hi, hello, be happy. I posted them in the window and waved. I stood on the window ledge in various poses, creating hats from paper and file folders, made faces, played peekaboo by bouncing up from below the window ledge and stuck out my tongue, tossed paper planes in the air, and once went into the walkway over the street and danced while coworkers pointed to me to let my fans know I was there. Christmas approached and job cuts were announced. Several coworkers would lose their job. Everyone was depressed. Stress reached a high point. We needed a miracle to break the tension. While working a night shift, a red lab jacket attracted my attention. I picked it up and turned it in my hands. In the back corner where the packing material was kept, I used my imagination and cut thin white sheets of cloth-like foam into strips and taped them around the cuffs and collar, down the front and around the hem of the lab jacket. A box of foam packing and strips of tape became Santa's beard. I folded a red file folder into a hat and taped the beard to it. The whole thing slipped over my head in one piece. The next day, I hid from my coworkers and slipped into the costume. I walked bravely to my desk, sat down, held my belly, and mocked Santa's chuckle. They gathered around me, and they laughed for the first time in weeks. A few minutes later, my supervisor walked through the door. He took three steps, and he looked up, and he saw me. Pausing, he shook his head, turned, and left. I feared trouble. The phone on the desk rang. It was my boss, and he grumbled, "Mike, come to my office." I shuffled down the hall. The foam beard swished across my chest with each step. "Come in," the muffled voice replied to my knock. I entered and sat down. The foam on my beard creaked. He looked away from me. A bead of sweat rolled down my forehead. The only sound in the room was the hammering of my heart. "Mike!" That was all he managed to say. He lost his composure and leaned back in his chair and bellowed with laughter and held his stomach. Tears formed in his eyes while I sat silent and confused. When he regained control, he said, "Thanks, Mike. With the job cuts, it's been hard to enjoy Christmas season. Thanks for the laugh. I needed it." That evening and every evening of the Christmas season, I stood proudly in the window and waved to my fans. The bus crowd waved wildly, and little children smiled at the strange Santa. My heart filled with joy. For a few minutes each day, we could forget the job losses. I didn't know it then, but a bond was forming between my fans and I. The next spring, I discovered just how close we had become. My wife and I were expecting our first child. I wanted the world to know. Less than a month before the birth, I posted a sign in the window, 25 days until B-Day. My fans passed and shrugged their shoulders. The next day the sign read, 24 days until B-Day. Each day was the number dropped and the passing people grew more confused. One day the sign appeared in the bus, "What is B-Day?" I just waved and smiled. 10 days before the expected date, the sign in the window said, 10 days until B-A-Day. Still, the people wondered. The next day, the sign read, 9 days until B-A-B-Day. Then, 8 days until Baby Day. My fans finally knew what was happening. By then, my following had grown to include 20 or 30 different buses and cars. Every night, they watched to see if my wife had given birth. The number decreased, and the excitement grew. My fans were disappointed when the count reached zero without an announcement. The next day, the sign read, "Baby day one, day late." I pretended to pull out my hair. Each day the number changed and the interest from passing traffic grew. My wife was 14 days overdue before she finally went into labor. Our daughter was born the next morning. I left the hospital at 5:30, screamed my joy into the morning air, and drove home to sleep. I got up at noon, bought cigars, and appeared at my window in time for my fans. My coworkers were ready with a banner posted in the window. It's a girl! I didn't stand alone that evening. My coworkers joined me in celebration. We waved our cigars in the air, and as every vehicle passed, acknowledged the birth of my daughter. Finally, the bus from the docks made its turn onto the overpass and began to climb the hill. When it drew close, I climbed onto the window ledge, clasped my hands over my head in a victory pose. The bus was directly in front of me when it stopped in heavy traffic, and every person aboard the bus stood with their hands in the air. I was choked with emotion as I watched them celebrate my new daughter. Then it happened. A sign popped up. It filled the windows and stretched half the length of the bus. "Congratulations," it read. Tears formed in the corners of my eyes as the bus slowly resumed its journey. I stood in silence as it pulled away from view. More fans passed. They tooted their horns and flashed their lights to congratulate me. I hardly noticed them as I pondered what had just happened. My daughter had been born 14 days late. Those people must have carried that sign for weeks. Each day they must have unrolled it and rolled it back up again. I thought of them going through so much just to celebrate my new baby made me cry. I made a fool of myself in that window for 8 months. I made those people smile after a long day at work. They must have enjoyed it, because on the happiest day of my life, they showed their appreciation. That day, more than 20 years ago, changed me. I just wanted to make my day better. I didn't realize how it affected others. Ever since then, I try to put a smile on someone's face every day. I compliment strangers on their clothing. I start conversations in elevators. I even make jokes in crowded New York City subways. Some may think I'm stupid, but I know there's a chance that I'm making someone's day. Someone who may one day hold up a sign that says congratulations. And I can't think of a story that better typifies how we can be and how we can lead our life. It's your life. Okay, you get to choose how you want to lead it. What do you want to make of it? My closing quote here is from Rumi, who is a 13th century poet. When you do things from your soul, you feel a river moving in you, a joy. As always, what's the most important thing you got out of today's show? Join me next time. I've got 3 shows in mind. I think I talked about it a little bit earlier. And I think the first one I'm going to do is about listening, and listening to other people, listening to our body, listening to with compassion. And then the next one is going to be on being yourself. We have to be ourselves. Life is too short to try and impersonate someone else or to be an imposter. And then the next one will be living in the present. As I mentioned, people think there's 3 periods of time: past, present, and future. There is no past, there is no future. All there is today. Tomorrow will always be tomorrow. There will be a Wednesday, but tomorrow will always be tomorrow. So those are the next 3 shows. Again, I want to thank you for joining me, for listening. And I'm always looking forward to your participation, and for you to email me at jim@jimbrownspeaker.com. Love to hear how it's affecting you or what you want from the show. In the meantime, as always, I send love from my heart to your heart. I ask that you receive this love, you share this love with everybody you know. There's an infinite supply of love. Please share it, and together we'll make the world a more loving place to live. Thank you. I love you. Goodbye till next time.